Welcome back to the Maui Noko Oi podcast, presented by Silver Shark Media. I'm Jason Evans of Silver Shark Media, and as always, we thank you for tuning in today and encourage you to subscribe and download to the podcast series. I'd like to welcome our next guest, Ryan Schelling, executive chef at the Four Seasons Resort Maui at Wailea. So Ryan, thanks for taking the time to chat today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course. So before we get into your role with Four Seasons, I'd like our audience to learn a little bit more about your roots in the culinary world. So what was your first introduction into cooking or even into a kitchen?
Well, actually, one of my first jobs I had, I think I was 14, 15, and it was just working for a small catering company with my cousin, you know, doing things like shucking corn and grilling chicken at a catering facility. And then when I was 15, I got a job as a dishwasher at a local diner and was having a lot of fun. And one day, you know, the prep cook didn't show up and they put a knife in my hand and off I went. I started taking, you know, some vocational classes in high school to actually be more towards the medical field, you know, like shadowing ambulances and having more of that EMT path. But I was having so much fun learning in the kitchen that I just decided I was going to go for it. You know, after, you know, a couple of years, I decided, all right, I'm going to find a culinary school. So I went to Johnson & Wales in Providence, Rhode Island, and, you know, did my 2 years of culinary, did a great externship in the UK and Wales at a place called the Celtic Manor, which is a large hotel. And that's where I really started to like hotels because there was so much to offer, different restaurant concepts, and you could do a lot moving around. And everything was new to me. I didn't come from a very food-centric background. I did my externship. I started doing another 2 years of food and beverage management. I did another externship in Bruges, Belgium. And then from there, I was working in restaurants all throughout college. And I wound up meeting someone that was working at the Four Seasons Washington, D.C. And they invited me to go down and just check the property out. And, you know, kind of long story short, I wound up with a job offer before I graduated college.
I want to backtrack 1 second on sort of your younger years a little bit. So, you know, you said you started out kind of a dishwasher, just sort of high school job. Did you have any culinary influences within your family growing up when you were younger? Or was that sort of just, I need a job, I want some extra cash, I'm in high school, I'm going to work for a restaurant?
I remember it. Like, I do kind of tell the story a little bit where I think there was a day that, you know, my friends wanted to go to the movies and I asked my mom for like $10 to go to the movies. And she's like, well, you're old enough for a work permit, get a job and you'll never have to ask me for $10 to go to the movies.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some of my friends had been working at that diner I mentioned and that's when I got the job. But for, you know, for me, you know, yeah, there were always dishes around that, you know, if my grandparents made them or my parents made a dish on a special occasion, I really enjoyed. But cooking wasn't a desired path until I actually started doing it in a kitchen, like outside of the home, to kind of see how it was all done on like a professional level. It's kind of what triggered me to want to do it.
Yeah, and it's certainly if it's taking you sort of from almost a medical field, it must have really opened your eyes. So you kind of referenced it a little bit, but starting with the Four Seasons brand in 2006 as a line cook, and then I'm guessing the path from line cook to executive chef is not exactly a straight line. So, you know, what were your steps from when you first began that led you to Maui with Four Seasons in particular?
You know, I was young, impressionable, and was just learning from a lot of great chefs. And it was those chefs that were telling me I needed to move around a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I needed to go see new things in different locations. And, you know, every property that Four Seasons has is very diverse in terms of what they offer and their sources of ingredients. So I was encouraged very early on that go to a new location, learn a new thing, meet new people, evolve, right? That started prompting a lot of the moves I made. The move out to Jackson Hole was a recommendation based off the chefs that were working there. So I went knowing nothing about the property. I went and fell in love with the place. It was great because it was very different from the city element of, you know, that hustle and bustle of Washington.
Yeah, quite the contrast from D.C.
Oh, yeah, for sure. A bit more laid back, and you can kind of see it in the clientele. You know, if you have that, like, Washington, D.C. power lunch, you know, versus the guest that just kind of wants to, you know, chill in the early evening or the late afternoon after a good day of skiing on the mountain. And then, you know, to Baltimore was the same thing. I kind of went there because of the restaurants that were opening and the restaurant groups the hotel was partnered with because they had a good name. And I wanted to learn under some great people. So that's what, you know, prompted that. With every move, you know, I had gotten better at the craft. You know, my performance got better, and that kind of came with promotions and cook levels. And then, you know, Baltimore, which is where I became a sous chef. And then, you know, moving back to Jackson Hole, kind of the partnership with Four Seasons and one of the restaurant groups that were operating within. And then I was promoted again, and then again. And then with Orlando, that again was a recommendation based off of, say, what I could learn mm-hmm. and the styles of restaurants they had, as opposed to I just want to move to Orlando.
Right.
I went and wound up staying 7 years.
Wow.
And I just really, really enjoyed it and learned a lot, definitely grew professionally. And I think in Orlando, it kind of grew more into being a chef of, you know, the people element, the business mm-hmm. element.
What, as you pick up on these little nuances in these different locations, you know, even before that with your spots in Europe, and then, you know, DC, Jackson, Baltimore, Florida, what are the nuances that you find since coming to Maui in terms of expanding your portfolio or array of knowledge?
Well, I think there's a couple different elements to it, and I've been here now, you know, 6 months, and I'm still kind of wrapping my head around it mm-hmm. Because it is vastly different. You know, you can look at it and say, okay, it's hotels and it's hospitality, but there's a subtlety in those differences. Some of it is it's the location, it's the people, maybe it's the flow of goods on and off the island. It's the mentality of the workforce and the guests. Vastly different. I'd love to be able to articulate it in a way, but I'm still trying to understand it myself.
Sure.
But I think, you know, the biggest difference is, let's say, guests that are coming here, you know, they're here for the vibe and the energy of Maui. You feel it when you get off the plane. It's very different. Mm-hmm. And it's just an energy you can't quite define, but you feel it. And within that, it's me adjusting myself, who has a very different background. Kind of most of my experience is coming up on the East Coast, is a very different pace and a very different guest mindset and way of life, where I almost have to come here and let myself be absorbed in the flow.
Right.
And that's my learning curve in a way, but it's also kind of a nice shift mm-hmm. into that. Become a part of it. And that's ultimately why I came out here too, was not just to come and work at a job, but kind of come and change and, you know, learn why the property I work at is so well known and so loved by the guests that come, but to, you know, become a strong cog in that wheel.
Yeah. Well, for those listening who maybe aren't as familiar with the inner workings of the culinary industry, what is the role of an executive chef at a resort property versus, say, an executive chef of an independent restaurant that's not affiliated with a hotel or resort?
Well, I think you have many similarities. It's just a matter of scale. You know, so if you could have, or even if I were to break down our property's restaurant, I'll call them singular. If you were to have our Ferraro's restaurant, the executive chef of that restaurant would be responsible for menu development, execution, staff management, product management, and effectively managing all elements of that business. Everything down to, is there supplies in the guest bathroom? Are people getting paid on time? All of those elements of running a restaurant. And I think the biggest difference is that as an executive chef, in a hotel, you are doing that across three or four restaurants. You've got banquet operations and dining operations. So it's done on a bigger scale, and you are now, say, managing chef de cuisine, which are the ones that effectively drive individual outlets. So it's the same in a way, but it's just bigger scale.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Ferraro's. One of the bigger recent announcements at the Four Seasons Resort Maui at Wailea has been the reimagination and reopening of Ferraro's. So what can people expect to see and experience that's new at Ferraro's since this recent redesign?
Well, the obvious elements of the exterior kind of opened up a little bit more. It's got that coastal Italian feel. And, you know, when it comes down to the food, it's lightened up. You know, there's bigger emphasis on seafood. The goal with this menu development was that we wanted guests to have a kind of a full experience, in the sense that you get, say, a crudo, an antipasti, get a pasta, and then you move into an entree with five. You know, portions are built that you can have a wide variety of food on the table, and a lot of it is easily shared. You get, say, that broad menu experience as opposed to having just a large plate of pasta.
Right.
Something heavy. You really wanted to lighten things up and kind of shift into that kind of Mediterranean element. Vegetables, olive oil based sauces, and really kind of play around with as much of the produce element we can.
How do you approach when you know that there's going to be a menu redesign like this? Where do you start? I mean, you kind of hit on some of the goals that you had, but where does that process even begin in terms of figuring out what stays, maybe what is removed or what gets altered? What's that process like for you?
Well, for me, I go back and forth with a couple of different, approaches. I typically start with a logistics standpoint, and I'll map things out based off of, you know, what's the goal of the menu concept? You know, if we want it to be coastal Italian, we'll look at, okay, and that's big, right? Italy has a big coast.
Yeah.
So if we're going to say we want a dish from this region or a dish from this region, we want to make sure that they don't necessarily overlap the menu ingredients so that we have a lot of variety in the menu. And then we'll take a look at having the right spread in the menu. We have, you know, a certain amount of seafood dishes, a couple meat dishes, a couple chicken dishes. Ultimately, we want to make sure we have the right variety for the guests, because that's who we're cooking for. We want to make sure that flavor is the priority. You know, presentation is great. We do want to have some elevated presentation to, you know, show off the creative elements that a lot of our chefs have. But ultimately, it has to be executed at volume. So when I kind of get this started, I look at maybe those checklists of things. Is it right for the menu mix? Is it right for the concept? Can it be executed the way we intend it to consistently? Is the flavor there? And is the product consistent? We got to make sure we can change our menus to highlight the best seasonal ingredients we can get. You know, we wouldn't want to be putting, you know, spring peas on in the winter, especially if we don't have a guaranteed supply of them. I mean, yep. You know, in a great place like Maui, you can grow things year round. That doesn't necessarily mean the farms on Maui can supply you with what you want year round. So we have to be creative in that approach. And then, like, you know, sometimes my mindset is, you know, I really want to cook this. How can I shape this into the menu we want to run? So sometimes I'll go back and then try to make that meet in the middle, because sometimes, you know, what I may want to put in the menu isn't necessarily what the guests want.
Do you have a hard time letting ideas go for a menu if they don't tick the boxes that you mentioned? Maybe it's not something that's able to scale effectively. Maybe the ingredient might not be dependable for a season or a year round. Is that a hard process for you if you have an idea that you really, really like, but at some point get to a spot where you have to let it go for now?
You know, sometimes you put a lot of energy into something, especially if you're passionate about it.
Yep.
And if it's just not working, it's like, You know, you kind of, maybe you kind of put it in the idea bank, you bring it out, or you modify it in a way to do it, or maybe it's going to work somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it'll, if it's not going to work, say, on the Ferraro's menu or Duo menu, maybe it's going to work as a modified version for in the dining, or it's going to work somewhere else. But ultimately, you could bring that out for a special event. You could bring it out for a special and try to work out those kinks. Do it, maybe just scratch your creative itch a little bit, you know, which is something we encourage. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we have a dish that someone's worked on that they're proud of, and maybe it just doesn't quite fit the menu mix that we're looking for or the concept. But you know what? It's a great dish. Run it as a special. Get feedback. Work out the kinks on it. Fine-tune it to however you want, and then that chef, you know, has that.
Do you have, with the new Ferraro's menu items, do you have a personal favorite or two on the menu? Are you allowed to say if you have a personal favorite or two on the menu?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Well, I want to say, you know, we have our Hawaiian sea bass, the hapu. That's one of my favorites because of the salsa Palermo that Chef Russell came up with. You know, it's very simple, but it's that perfect showcase of when you have the right ingredients, simplicity. That's what, like, the simplicity of it makes it. So, you know, you get a great seared piece of sea bass, and if you have, you know, nice fresh tomatoes, you get some capers, olive, red wine vinegar, olive oil, a little bit of salt. It's all it needs to make that fish shine. And that's one of my favorite dishes. And then I think what they, you know, the hamachi crudo we have with the cucumber aqua pasta, that's also very good because you've got a simple fish, you know, a little nice seasoning, got great elements in there. You've got some, you know, salt, fat, acid, heat. It all, you know, mixes very well. It's also one of my favorites.
Well, both sound amazing. Beyond Ferraro's, the Four Seasons property certainly has a nice mix of food and drink options, as you mentioned. How do the different locations, and you kind of reference it, how do they complement each other, but also provide variety? You mentioned Duo, you have the Lobby Lounge, in-room dining, Ferraro's. How do you work with all of those different options, both together, but also keep them distinct?
Well, you know, it kind of starts with the concept, initial drive. You know, if you've got coastal Italian and you've got steak and seafood, you're going to have some overlap with some seafood items, just given the nature of what those concepts are. It's just a matter of how you differentiate them. So if we're writing elements for Duo, we try to make sure that we're not utilizing maybe the same fish that Ferraro, or we have a different cut of steak that they have. Simply if you have that designation, or maybe they're not in the same meal period. So if a guest ate dinner in Ferraro's one night and they go to Duo the next night, they don't really see too much repetition.
Right.
Or if there is a tiny bit, it's done in a much different way that completely deviates from what they had the night before. You know, in our lobby bar, you know, we've got sushi, we have poo-poos, we have some kind of typical bar snack sliders, things like that, just for that variety. And it can be everything, like we have two, you know, sit-down restaurants for dinner, and then you've got more of a casual get a couple bites at the lobby bar. You build your menus for variety. That way you can kind of have something for everybody.
Yeah.
And if somebody comes into the restaurant two or three nights during their stay, fantastic.
Makes sense. Well, you mentioned that you moved here. You've been here for a little bit over 6 months. It's obviously been an interesting 6 months on Maui. There's no really easy transition to the next topic, but I do just want to touch on some of the ways that the Four Seasons jumped in to support the Maui community last fall. And, you know, you're in the culinary side, so I'm going to keep this question limited to that area. I know that there was a large web that was cast on support from Four Seasons and all the different resort properties here on the island. And I know that your team directly help provide meals to those in need. You also did a very special pop-up event series supporting Westside restaurant workers. What was this like for you and your team, and what were some of the ways from the culinary side that the property helped out with the local community after the fires?
Well, you know, I think how it was for the team, I think everyone was more than willing just dive in and assist in any way they could. When I arrived, you know, on August 12th, the island was organizing and initially figuring out how they're going to feed everybody. So the hotel here very quickly had mobilized to start, you know, creating simple lunches, box meals that they could send out. My first day was actually coming in, you know, starting building a lot of these meals. I hadn't even really met the whole team yet or knew where we were going for dropping things off, but it was kind of hitting the ground running. And it was amazing to see the organization and the way almost everyone in the community dove in and see what they could help. So the hotel really kind of kicked it off with, you know, trying to provide as much as we could when the information became available. When World Central Kitchen and the Chef Hui organization started kind of running out of the college, you know, we would be in contact with them and say, what do you need? Because it, so many people were, you know, so generous in donating, they had to kind of rework how they were, you know, potentially planning getting food out to people. So they would tell us what they need. We produced as much as we could. We started looking at how can we produce more. And then in addition to, say, food donations, this is where, like, pop-up ideas started happening. So we had our restaurant space that we had opened up called Dos Hombres. And this kind of popped up while the Ferraro restaurant was under renovation. And we knew Dos Hombres was closed 2 days a week. So we thought, well, we could invite chefs from Lahaina that, you know, maybe lost their businesses and had such great ties to the community to allow them to work and operate, and we could get the proceeds to them to kind of help keep their teams afloat. So that's where that started. It started about, I believe, with 4 restaurants, it expanded to 6, and then 8, and then, you know, a big special event at the end. So it was great to get those people involved to meet them and have them come in, and we could do these great events together. And you know, for me, it was great to have that element to dive in the community and meet the chefs that were around and kind of hear some of their stories and just, in a way, you know, learn from them, see the food they've been doing. So those events were very successful. It was great for our team because we had a lot of our team that were excited to go work and meet these chefs. Some of them, you know, each other. It's a pretty close community in the culinary world. We did those events, and you know, towards the end, I think it was December 23rd, we had welcomed everybody back that we did those Love for Lahaina events with, and we did kind of one, you know, end of the year blowout to have one last push for them, and that was also very successful.
Yeah, I just have to mention to you and your team specifically, I can't remember a series with a comparison to Love for Lahaina in terms of a pop-up event that had such positive feedback from so many different areas. On this podcast alone, I think we've had multiple chefs bring it up unprovoked. I know Kyle Kawakami talked about it a couple weeks ago. Regular conversations I've had with folks in the culinary industry, it's something I know that was mentioned frequently and always appreciated. And then, you know, the list of names and businesses that were part of that. You had Papa Aina with Chef Leanne Wong, Mala Osha Tavern. You had an event for Trilogy, Fleetwoods on Front Street, Isaac Bancaco, Tsale Pepe, Dekine, Honu, Oceanside. All these events helped support these businesses and chefs. All the proceeds went back to the visiting chef and their team. As you mentioned, keeps your Four Seasons staff employed and busy. And doing something positive, and also obviously helps to support local agriculture and local food industry here on the ingredients that were used. So just a really clever and creative way to help in a very difficult time. So I commend the Four Seasons team, you and the rest of your staff there for doing such a great event.
Well, thank you. And it was, you know, a big part of that, of course. You know, I was, you know, brand new when that started getting organized. So I was learning the names of the team and all these people we were working with kind of simultaneously. So like, you know, it was kind of a testament to how much, you know, this hotel like cares about where it is. You know, and you had mentioned the farmers too, right? A big focus of this was yes, help the restaurants, let's help the culinary and restaurant community. But it was also, you know, who are you buying ingredients from? Who are your preferred suppliers? So that was also a way we felt we could, you know, further help support.
Yeah, and it was a really great and well thought out way. And as you mentioned, the industry is connected in many different ways here on Maui. So, you know, thanks again to you and your team. So as awkwardly as I transitioned into that, I will awkwardly transition out of it. Moving forward now in 2024, shifting back to your role, what are your hopes for the Four Seasons property as you get settled in here and get a little bit more time under your belt?
Well, you know, for me, it's that we can continue doing all the things the property is known for, right? The great service, the great experiences, and the great products we provide. And maybe this is a bit more for me personally, but it's to integrate more into the community, to integrate more into the local farm, and to, you know, figure out the best way that I can help either, you know, support the team and support, you know, other restaurants, local farms. How can we bring in, say, more of their ingredients? Just so, you know, we can just be there to supply as much support to other restaurants, other farmers, as we can. And, you know, of course, our own people. You know, so much of my experience right now has been, like, the adjustment of how does everything work and how is everything on the island interconnected. And for me, it's just becoming more ingrained in that fabric.
Well, I look forward to seeing your imprint on everything at the Four Seasons currently and moving forward. So if people want to learn more about Ferraro's in particular, either online or social media, maybe they can see the redesigned menu. They can obviously look at other imagery of other restaurants if they want on property. What's the best way for folks to learn more about the dining options with Four Seasons and then Ferraro's in particular?
Come on in. Come on in and check it out.
That would be the best way.
Yeah. Well, you know, of course, we have, you know, Four Seasons Maui social media. You know, we've got the Four Seasons website. But yeah, the firsthand experience is always going to be the best.
Awesome. Well, I hope to have the first-hand experience at some point soon, Ryan. I want to thank you for taking the time again to chat today. I do wish you and your team all the best with the recent update and the property in general going forward.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And I appreciate the time and the invite.